All right, we're beginning here on the top of Kaf Amud Aleph for the two dots. Tarabanan, Mifta, Shvua, Isar, Shvua, Isur, Isar. Ima Taomer, Isar, Shvua, Chayav, Vimlav, Patur. That's a Braita. Obviously, the Braita is difficult to understand, and that's what we're going to spend our time on in the Gemara, trying to parse the Braita or figure out what the Braita just said. The Gemara asks an initial question, which seems to be that there is an eternal stira within the Braita, which is, Im ata omer isar shvua, if you say isar shvua, which was the end of the Braita, chayav, v'amart, didn't you just say before, isar shvuahu? Didn't the Braita already say, isar is a shvua? Then why are you asking a question or posing it as a safek after that point in time, whether an isar is a shvua or not? So Gemara says now, Amar Abaye, we're going to have two explanations of the Braita. One explanation by Abaye and one explanation by Rova. Amar Abaye, Haki Kamar. This is the way to read the Braita. Mifta Shvua. Mifta is a word that is the equivalent of saying Shvua. Isar Matpis Bishvua. Isar means that I am doing Hatpasa Bishvua. Now Hatpasa Bishvua is a terminology that really comes out of Masechet Nedarim, where we have the concept of Hatpasa. Hatpasa is where you use something else to bring the Isur, whatever it is that you're trying to create, you're basing it off something else. So the classic example of that is if you already have something that's Isur, for instance, a piece of hektesh, or you have a kikar, a loaf of bread, which is already Isur, and you say, harizeh kezeh, that this loaf of bread that I have now is similar to the other loaf of bread that I had. This loaf of bread is similar to hektesh. That's called hatpasa, which is that I, in a sense, connect between the Isur that already exists and the object that I'm trying to make Asur. So he says that the Lashon of Isar is a Mitpas Bishwa, is a Hatpasa Bishwa. Rashi over here says something very interesting about that. He says, Isar Matpish Bishwa, Isar Alai Kikarzo. The person just says, Isar Alai Kikarzo. Now that is not your classic case of Hatpasa, because Hatpasa requires you to reference to something else. Over here, Rashi just gives you a lashon that says that I'm using the word the same way I would have used a shvua. Shvua alai kikarzo. And so he does the same thing with the word isar. So again, that's not your classic case of hatpasa. But Rashi says the meaning then of that is, harayuhu kimi shenishba lekikar. It's as if someone made this shvua, v'chazar v'amar, al kikar acher arizek ezeh. It's as if he said, encompassed or incorporated in that word, is as if he didn't say the word shvua, but rather he said, this is asur, and then this is like this. It's all captured in that word, and it's as if you said all of that in that word. And that makes it as if you made a hatpasa bishvua. So Rashi doesn't read it literally that you did a hatpasa in the shvua, but rather the word incorporates, or in that word is the meaning of what hatpasa is. Now Rashi's explanation is interesting from a number of standpoints. There are a number of chidushim here in Rashi. The first of which all of you are pointing out, which is that just saying the word, where's the hatpasa? Rashi says it's embedded in the word. We'll see other rishonim that don't say that. Number two is Rashi brings it down, but lashon neder. Rashi gives the example here of isar, isar alai kikar zo. That is a lashon neder, not a lashon shvua. That we know, again, from the Gemara in Nedarim, the difference between a neder and a shvua in general is that a neder is about the object, and a shvua is about the gavra, about the individual. Generally, when you speak about a shvua, you speak about an action that the individual will take or will not take, or in a sense, it's intangible in nature, because you're talking about the individual, how they're going to act towards something or some item. On the other hand, a neder refers to the chepza, to the object itself. It says this object is now asur. This object now has some sort of status that it didn't have before. Rashi over here, when he gives the example of a hatpasat shvua, he says, isar alai kikarzo. That is a classic neder, because he's speaking about the kikar, and even the example he gives of the hatpasa is, hare kikar acher kare zeh kazeh. That this kikar is like this kikar. The hatpasa is all being done through the object itself. This kikar has the same status as that kikar. It's all lashon neder. That's also backed up by Rashi's view by miftah, where he says it is a full-fledged shvua. The example that he brings is a miftah, kikar zo alai, which again is a shvua that's formulated by lashon neder. If you go back to the beginning of Nedarim, the Ran has a discussion there in the Daf Bet Amud Bet, with regards to what happens when you formulate a shvua b'lashon neder or a neder b'lashon shvua, where the Ran brings that the shita of the Rach, the Rimigash, and the Rashbo is that a shvua b'lashon neder is not chal at all. He brings that the Ramban believes that a shvua b'lashon neder is chal mi yadot shvua. It becomes like a yad of shvua, which is, it's not a direct mechanism of shvua, but a yad, which is, again, relevant to the Mishnah over there and the functioning of Nidarim and Shvot over there. But it's a way that you use like a handle, which is using some other language or some other vehicle to create or simulate the effect of a shvua. And so he says that a shvua b'lashon neder is a shvua. It really, the truth is that there is a third opinion that is brought over there in the name of the Bala Maor. And the Bala Maor says that a shvua b'lashon neder, it turns out to be almost like a neder. It's a shvua with the character traits of a neder, which means that it's an iser chepza. And the Bala Maor over there has a big chiddush that a shvua, the shon neder, can be taken and undermine or override a mitzvah, which is only true by a neder, not true by a shvua. And on that, the Ramban disagrees and says that's not the case, that it's a shvua and not a neder. If you're going to say that a shvua, the shon neder is kal, it's kal as a shvua, not kal as a neder. If you look carefully over here, Rashi seems to be saying that shvua b'lashon neder is kal like a neder, and the kikar is asur. Rashi is clear of the view here that you can have a shvua b'lashon neder. Even if you do it b'lashon neder, your intent is for it to be a shvua, and therefore you're using a lashon shvua isar, that makes it a shvua, even though you said it like a neder, even though you formulated like a neder because it's on a chepza. And the truth is that when Rashi says over here that it's a shvua b'lashon neder, and he says it's chal, it seems to be that he's even saying it in the view of the Bala Maor, because he seems to indicate here that it is isara lai kikar zor rehu kamishnish bala kikar. It's as if he took the shvua on the kikar itself. And that is also reinforced by the Rashi on the previous amud, where he says shvua shokhalach bisur shvua hei alai ma shokhal mishalcha. It should be an Easter to me, what I'm going to eat from you, meaning that the chalut of the shvua is on the chepetz itself. And therefore he has a concept of shvua, where the shvua affects the chepetz or the chepza, which is basically the shita of the Bala Maor. So those are the two things that Rashi is saying over here. I'm just going to continue a little bit in the Gemara according to Rashi's shita, and then we'll come back and discuss the Balei Tosafot and the Rabbeinu Hananel and others who have a different view over here. Alright, so then he continues to explain the Braita. Isur Isar. That Isur of Isar, meaning the fact that Isar works, imata omer mitpas bishvua kemotzi shvua mipiv domi, if you believe that hatpasa b'shvua is the equivalent of taking a full-fledged shvua, chayav, then you will be chayav for malkot, if you do it intentionally. Bishogeg, you're going to chayav a korban olev v'yoreit. V'imav, if you don't think that hatpasa is a full-fledged shvua, patur. Then you are patur. Rashi says over here, you're patur from a korban. You're patur from malkot. But there still is an isur. There is still a restriction against violating your word. You said that you were going to do something. You have to stand by your word. So even though it won't result in a chiyuv korban, it won't result in a chiyuv malkot, it could still result in a isur that you are violating your word. So now, the way that Rashi is structuring it, and this is where many of the Rishonim don't agree with Rashi. Rashi is now saying that the Braita or the Tana is presenting a safek. We don't know if Hadpasa works or doesn't work by a shvua. If you think it works, then the word Isar is going to result in a shvua. If you think it doesn't work, then the word Isar will not result in a shvua. The reason that the other Rishonim, you can see that in the Balei Tosafot, who brings numerous questions on Rashi's pshat, but one of the main ones is this. That you don't really find a Tana who gives you or presents you halacha b'safek. Tanaim give you statements of fact or definitive halachot. We don't find in a Mishnah, we don't find in a Braita, well, if you think this, then that. If you think this, then that. That's not the nature of a Braita, that's not the nature of that type of learning. Remember that the Mishnah and the Braitot were summaries. They were shorthand forms of learning. In that way, you're not going to present a safek in the Braita or the Mishnah. You're presenting thoughts or ideas that you're trying to convey. And so therefore, they believe that that can't be the explanation over here. That can't be the reading of the Gemara according to Abaye. So if you look about halfway down, the Tosafot of Isar Matpis, after asking all these questions on Rashi, ומפרש רבינו תם, מבטא כתוב בפרשה הוא לשון שבועה, שנשבה בלשון מבטא, כדי פרש נמי בקונטרס. I agree with the Rashi, that when you say מבטא, מבטא is exchangeable with the word שבועה. And so מבטא means שבועה. אבל איסר הכתוב בפרשה, אינה שבועה, שאסר עצמו בלשון איסר. You can't use the word isar synonymously with the word shvua. As opposed to mivta, which is exchangeable or synonymous with the word shvua, isar is not that way. Ela b'matpis b'shvua katuv midaber. You have to use it b'lashon hatpasa. Shenishba l'kikar, b'chazar b'amar al-kikar acher, harei alai shalo ochel kikar zeh kazeh. By the way, you can see here in the Tosafot that he's careful in the wording, that the wording is a wording of a shvua, and not a wording of a neder. The way that he says that pasa happens is, Harei alai shlo ochel kikar ze. I will not eat this kikar kaze, like that other kikar that I will not eat. So when he has that pasor, the lashon of the shvua, he literally uses a lashon shvua, unlike what Rashi did over there. V'hainu isar dekra. And that is the isar of the kra. So what the Rabbeinu Tam says in the end is, the isar that you're using is a lashon hatpasa. You can't use it like a lashon shvua. Rashi suggested that the lashon isar is actually the equivalent or embedded in the word is this whole hatpasa that takes place. You say the word isar, it's as if you said, this is like this, and that was asur, and this is now asur, but it's all in the word itself. Rabbeinu Tam says the word isar is a mechanism for doing hatpasa. You want to do hatpasa, you can use the word isar in order to do that. Then, the safek is, if you used it, the lashon hatpasa, if you used the isar, the lashon hatpasa, then you're chayav, because it works. If you use the isar, the lashon shvua, then it doesn't work, and then you are patur. So it's a statement of fact, it's a statement about the individual who is making the neder, or taking the shvua in this case, where we are trying to figure out, how did he utilize the word? It's not a safek in the halacha, it's a safek in the intent of the individual. Did he use the word isar as a shvua? Fails. Did he use the word isar like a hatpasa? Then it works. And that's the statement of the Braita. Inami, hachi perusho. Another explanation of Abai is, im ata omer matpis bishvua, perushit pisu b'lashon shvua, shizkir lashon achila. So here you get the difference between the Baal Tosafot and the Rashi, which is, how did he do the hatpasa? If he did the hatpasa b'lashon achila, v'amar harei alai shalo ochel ze kaze, v'im lav, shalo yizkir lashon achila, elo amar harei alai ze kaze, patur. Basically says, that's exactly what the Braita is saying, is that there's a difference between doing hatpasa b'lashon shvua and hatpasa b'lashon neder. If you do hatpasa b'lashon shvua, it's going to work, because that's what your intent was. You were trying to do a shvua, isar ze lashon shvua, and hatpasa b'shvua works. But if you take the Lashon of Isar, which is Lashon Shua, and then you formulate it like a neder, it won't work. The exact opposite of what Rashi said over here, but that's exactly what he says. Another possibility of how to explain the Braita is that the difference here is whether you use Lashon Shua or Lashon Neder. In essence, saying what Rashi did is wrong. That Rashi says that Lashon Shua, Lashon Neder works as a Shua, that's exactly what the Braita is dispelling and saying it won't work. If you take a Lashon that belongs to Shua and apply it to a neder, it won't work. And then he brings an additional explanation. Now the Odesh Lomar is basically what the Rabbeinu Hananel says. And this is a third way to explain the Braita, which is Asar Isar, I'm reading now to the Rabbeinu Hananel, which is that they had a different Lashon. We have a Lashon in our Braita of Isur Isar. He had a Lashon of either Isar Isar or Asar Isar, which is Kagon Shipis Od Dagim aluto apat sheit pisa bebasar. It's a third level of hatpasa, which is that he was matpis B with A, and so A was asur, he made B asur through A. Then he takes C, and takes C asur through B. So he's basically now extending the hatpasa. He's doing a double hatpasa. And that's what the description here of isar isar is hatpasa la hatpasa. That is a hatpasa of hatpasa. And then you have to say with Vamar, Ima Taomer Matpis Bishwa Kimotsi Shwa me pib dami chayav bimla patur. If you think hatpasa works by a shvua, then if you move A to B, you can move B to C as well. If you don't think it works by a shvua, then it won't work. Now that he's explaining similar to Rashi, which is that it's a question of whether hatpasa works or doesn't work. Whereas the Balei HaTosafot, because of the problem they have with that in Rashi, Balei HaTosafot are using that same structure as the Rabbeinu Hananel suggests, that what it means is, if you say that Hatpasa is the equivalent of articulating a Shvuah, then you can do a derivative Hatpasa, which means that if you had B, B mitpas ba'a, so now B is a sur. How do you view B? Is B now a completely new Shvuah? And that means then you could take C and be mapis it on B. Or is B just a derivative of A? Which is, it's a lower form of Shvuah. It's Hatpasa, it's not a real Shvuah. If it's not a real Shvuah, then I can't take that which is on B and move it to C, because it's only a derivative of A, and therefore it can't pass on whatever it has to C. And that's the nature of the brightest. This question is, what do you think, how do you think Hatpasa works? Is Hatpasa a full-fledged Shvuah, and every now you can pass it to the third item? Or is the Hatpasa considered to be just that, a Hatpasa, but not on the level of a Shvuah, and therefore you can't pass B to C? So that's the way the Rabbeinu Hananel learns it. The Ramban himself does a good job summarizing over here, bringing all the different shitot, Rashi, and all the other different shitot over here. All right, now the Gemara says, Umimai de Miftah Shvuah. How do you know that Miftah can be interchanged or synonymous with the word Shvuah? Dichtev, as the Pasuk says, O nefesh ki tishava levatei bisvatayim. So here you have a expression in the Torah which says that when a person goes ahead and takes a Shvuah, levatei svatayim. So levatei svatayim seems to be there. It means to articulate, but the word levatei is used in the context of taking a Shvuah. So you see the word Miftah is a form of Shvuah. Where it says Isar Nami, well then Isar has the same status in the Torah, Dichtiv. Kol neder v'chol Shvuat Isar. So there it says that Shvuat Isar. So you see the word Isar also used in the context of Shvuah. If that's the case, why is by differentiating between Miftah and Isar, which all the Rishonim, again, all the explanations that we just gave before, differentiate between a Miftah and Isar. According to this, there should be no difference between them. So let's try it from the other way around. How do we know that Isar is Mitpas Vishvuah? Dichtiv, because it says, O Asra Isar al Nafsha Bishvuah. So here again, the Gemara is quoting from two places. One is Vayikra Hei, and the other one is Bamidbar Lamed. Vayikra Hei is the Parshia of Korban Olevi Oreid, which is the discussion of our Masechta, this Perek, and the Masechta about Shvuat Bitoy, and then later on about Shvuat Edut, which are found in Vayikra Hei. The other place that they're quoting from is Bamidbar Lamed, which is the beginning of Matot. And over there, the Torah speaks about nidarim, and the ability of a husband or a father to be made fair the neder of their daughter, wife, respectively. And that's the parshia of nidarim. So they're using those two parshiot to try to figure out which lashon or what lashon means what. So over here, it's bringing, we saw from Vayikra Hei, it brought a proof that Shvuah is bitoy. Then from Bamidbar Lamed, it brought a proof that Isar is also a lashon Shvuah. Now we're still in Bamidbar Lamed, and it's saying, O Asra Isar al-Nafsha Bishvu'ah. So you see there, she created an Isar on herself, Bishvu'ah, through a Shvu'ah. So it sounds like the Isar was done through a Shvu'ah, Bishvu'ah. It wasn't a Shvu'ah itself, but it was done through a Shvu'ah, which is an indication of Hatpasa, Miftah Nami Aktiv. If you come back here to Vayikra Hei, by Miftah you have the same thing. V'chol asher yivateh ha'adam Bishvu'ah. Everything that a person expresses, bishvuah, through a shvuah. Again, bishvuah, the bet, is indicative of a hatpasa that is taking place over here. So you see, both the lashon isar, as well as the lashon yivateh, or bitui, are used in the context of hatpasa. So from the psukim, it's very hard to argue that one is different than the other. Either both of them appear to look like a lashon shvuah, or both of them appear to look like a lashon hatpasa. How do you know? El Amar Abaye, Miftah Shvuah Mehocha. I'll show you from Bamidbar Lamed. V'mayot yelish unidareha aleha. If she gets married to an individual and she already had nidarim prior to the marriage, o miftah svata asher asra nafsha, or things that she articulated that made herself now asur, and v'ilu shvuah lo kamar. Over there, the Torah never gives the word shvuah. That's clearly two sides over there. She either has nidareha aleha, she has nidarim, o miftah svatah, or shvuot. But the Torah never says or gives you the word shvuah. Instead, it just says miftah svatah. So So you see over there that the word miftah is used exchangeably with the word shvua by my asra atzma. The miftah, how did she make herself asura? Well, in one case, she took a neder and lose a lashon neder. The other case, she loses a lashon shvua, but the word shvua is absent. It's a lashon miftah. So you see that miftah has the ability to create, and so you see that the word miftah has the ability to be interchanged with the word shvua that we don't find by Isar. And so therefore, miftah has the status of being equivalent to shvua, whereas Isar is hatpasa. Rova Amar, so here we have the alternative, which is Rova disagrees with Rabbi's explanation of the Braita. The Olam Emelacha, Mitpis Bishvua, Lav Kimotzi Shvua Mipi Yivdomi. First of all, he says that Hatpasa by Shvua is not the equivalent of articulating a Shvua Mipiv, as if you said a full-fledged Shvua from your mouth. Again, here, that would depend on what you thought Rabbi said as to what Rova is disagreeing with. Basically, Rova is saying is that there is no Hatpasa by Shvua. How far we take that will depend, and we'll see that in the Rishonim upcoming, but the basic premise is that Hatpasa b'shvua is not a reality for Rova. V'halchi kamar. Now he has to explain the Braita in a different manner. Miftah shvua. Miftah is synonymous, interchangeable with shvua. Isar nami shvua. Isar is also interchangeable with shvua. And obviously Rova can bring the psukim that we brought above, where it said that Miftah and Isar are both used in the context of Shvua, and he says that those are replacement words for the word Shvua. They're the same din. Asareha di Isar, hitila hakatuv ben neder lishvua. The Isar that is in the Torah is placed between a neder and a Shvua. Hotzio v'loshon neder, neder. If you express it as a loshon neder, it is a neder. V'loshon Shvua, if you do it as a shvua, it is a shvua. And of course, the Gemara asks now, heichen heitilo, where exactly is that? In Beit Isha. Isha here is with the mafakeh. Ish shela, nidara, she took the neder. O asra yisar al nafsha, so there's the isar in the middle. Bishvua, in the shvua. So there the isar sits between shvua and neder. And what he is saying is that the word isar can function. It's multifaceted, has a dual meaning depending on the context. Which is that if you use Isar to express a Shvua, it will be a Shvua. If you use an Isar to express a Neder, then it will be a Neder. It is a versatile word that has the ability to both be the word Shvua or to be the word Neder. And that's what the Torah is presenting, and that's what the Braita is telling you here. If you use it as a Shvua, you're Chayav. Use it as a Neder, you are Patur. What? Why should it make a difference whether it's a Shvua or a Neder? The answer to that is that a Korban Olev Yoreid as a Korban Chatat only comes with Shvua, because that's where the Torah expresses Meikra Hei, that you took a Shvua and you violated a Shvua, Bitui Spatayim. Shvua can result in a Chiyuv Korban Olev V'Yoreid, and you'll be Chayav for a violation, we'll see later on, in terms of a Lav. The question of why you get Malkot in that case we'll discuss. Whereas for a Neder, the violation comes from Lo Yachel Divaro. You may not profane your word when you've taken a Neder. So the Isurim are different, number one. The Isurim are precipitated in a different way. And number two is that the result of that is also that there's a Korban by Shvua. There is no Korban by Neder. So there's a big difference as to whether it's a Shvua or a Neder, because the question of what you have violated if you do not keep the Shvua, you do not keep the Neder. And here we have a Bayin Rova L'Shitatam. Ditmar, Matpis B'Shvua, person who does Hatpasa by Shvua. Abai Amar, Kimotzi, Shvua Mipiv Dami. Abai sees that as being a full-fledged Shvua. Or in essence, Hatpasa does work by a Shvua, according to Abai. Ve'rava Amar, Lav Kimotzi, Shvua Mipiv Dami. It does not work. Hatpasa doesn't work by a Shvua. Therefore, that's not an option to describe the Braita or to explain the Braita in that manner, that Isar means Hatpasa in that case. Isar has to be something else and not Hatpasa. So you see them, the Shitatam, that Hatpasa for Abaye does work in a Shvua, whereas for Rova, it does not work. Meitave. So here is a question on Rova. Is that how could Rova say there's no such thing as Hatpasa b'Shvua? Ezu Isar Hamur b'Torah. So here you have a Braita that is trying to tell us, what is the meaning of an Isar in the Torah? Haomer. He expresses it in the following manner. Hare alai shlo uchal basar, shlo eshte yayin, I won't eat meat, I won't drink wine. Yom shemet bo aviv. Like the day that one's father passed away. Kiyom Shemit Bo Ploni, or like the day that so-and-so passed away. Kiyom Shenerag Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam, like the day that Gedalia Ben Achikam died, which is otherwise known as Tzom Gedalia. Kiyom Shirai Yerushalayim Bechurbanah, or the day that he saw Yerushalayim Bechurbanah, which is the day of Avelut, Asur. Then that individual is Asur. Again, this is a braita that is somewhat cryptic, and we're going to have an explanation of Shmuel. The sugya is much more fleshed out in the Gemara in Nidarim, on Daf Yud-Bet, Yud-Dalid in Nidarim, it speaks about this statement and then the meaning of it. But also over there, just as an aside, we discussed it much more in detail over there. What seems clear from this is that Yom Shemait Bo Aviv, and we'll see here that there are different explanations of what it means, Yom Shemait Bo Aviv, which also influences how you explain the Braita. But nevertheless, what seems to be a given is that on a Yortzeit, one would fast. That the practice was that on the day that the person passed away, father passed away, that the person had a built-in isur or a neder that generated a restriction against eating basar and drinking wine. Right, so that would be a sign of a avelut, but it also seems to be that it was more extensive than that. It was more along the lines of fasting. And this is the source, if you go to the Gemara Nidarim and the Rishonim for the fact, or for the practice, that the Ramal brings down in Shulchan Aruch, that fasting is the way that one commemorates Yom Yortzeit, and not by doing a tikkun. So it's interesting because it's developed through the world of Chassidut to be just the opposite, that it's a day where people give a kiddush, or they do sponsor something and have people make brachot, and not fasting, but from the Gemara and the Rishonim, it seems like that was the practice with regards to Yortzeit. Now you could read it, and that's a possibility, because Yom Shemit Bo Aviv is the actual day where the father passed away, which by definition is a day where one doesn't eat basar v'yayin, although that might present other issues, because we'll see in a second what Shmuel says. Vamer Shmuel, v'ushana dur uba mi'oto ayom. It only works if he has a nether that restricts him from that point forward, which makes him sound like he took a nether from that day forward, that he would not eat meat and drink wine. Although the Rimi Gash has an alternate girsa over here, which is be'oto ayom. That on that day he fasted, and then in any subsequent year, not every year, that he wanted to fast on that day, he would connect it to be'oto ayom, to that day where he fasted the first time when his father had passed away. And he had fasted, then he connects it back to that neder, or that restriction that he had on the day that his father passed away. What it seems to be is that you have to take a neder and be matpisit to another neder. Matpis means that you are using something that's already a sur to create another isur. And that's what Shmuel is suggesting over here. That the braita is telling you that the word isar means that you're taking something you want to make a sur and you're connecting it back. You are deriving that isur from something that you already made a sur, or something that is already a sur. And that isur, you're now being matpis and bringing it onto the new object that you want to make a sur. So now, that tells you that it can't simply be that you didn't eat on the day that the father passed away. It has to be that that precipitated a nether, precipitated a statement saying, I'm not going to eat basar, I'm not going to eat, drink wine on that day. So now, that would indicate that there was a practice, and that's what it seems from the Gemara Nidarim, less obvious over here, but from the Gemara Nidarim, it seems that there was a common practice, that people took a nether, v'yom shemit bo aviv imo, and that was what Shmuel is referring to over here. That it has to be something that's already nadur, time period, or a practice where someone would take a nether not to eat meat and not to drink wine on the day that their parents passed away. Again, that might be a demonstration of avelut, but it seems like it was more extensive. It was that he was tzam, that the person fasted on that day, especially given the fact that it compares it to Yom Shnerag Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam, what is otherwise a fast day. So now Shmuel says that the way that this functions, the way this braita works, is through hadpasa. Now the truth is that the braita is working with hadpasa of neder. Tosafot already asked that question. Why are you bringing a question on Rava from hadpasat neder when Rava is speaking about a hadpasat shvua? He says that a shvua doesn't have hadpasa. So why would you say bring a braita that says, well, look, Shmuel says there is hadpasa ben neder. So Tosafot answers very simply, v'yishlamar. Matpis ben neder yofina mi matpis b'shvua. Hatpasat neder derives from hatpasat shvua. So why did Shmuel then say over here that we're speaking about a neder? Shrigilutu shbnei adam no dream lechol basar nishtot yayin biyom shiru reishlayim bechurbana. People normally take a neder not to eat basar, not to drink wine on the day that they saw Yerushalayim in its destruction. They don't usually use a shvuah. So Tosfot says it's just a practical thing that Shmuel is saying, is that generally when people do this, they do it through a neder and not through a shvuah. But in Ochanami, the Braita is speaking about a shvuah, and Shmuel, who says it's time for a neder, just says it's a derivative. There's no hadpasah b'shvuah, there's no hadpasah b'neder. Or in essence, hadpasah, the concept of hadpasah, is equally applicable to shvuah and neder. If you tell me it doesn't work by one, it's not going to work by the other. And that means that Rovo, who says there is no hadpasah, is in essence arguing on Shmuel. Shmuel says there is hadpasah, Rovo says there is no hadpasah. How could Rovo argue on this position of Shmuel? That's what it says. Bishlama be'abayim idematpis ben neder, neder, just like hadpasah ben neder works as a neder, matpis b'shvuah shvuah. So too, hadpasah b'shvuah is a shvuah. In essence, Shmuel who said neder works by hadpasah, but he says that also means that shvuah works by hadpasah. Elo l'rovo kasho. Rovo, it's a difficult situation because how could he say that then there is no hadpasah b'shvuah? Fact is that Rova doesn't think, first of all, the isar, the word isar in the Torah, means hadpasah. That's number one. And number two is he doesn't apply it to a shvuah. And as the Baal Tosafot said before, the whole reason you know hadpasah b'neder really is from hadpasah b'shvuah. So if that's the case, how does he reconcile with Shmuel over here, who's taking isar b'Torah, saying it means hadpasah, and Rova saying, no, it does not mean hadpasah. Isar means shvuah, and isar means neder, not hadpasah. So there's their machloket according to the Baal Tosafot, is in the fact that the word isar has a different definition. It's not simply that hadpasah yes, hadpasah no. It's the fact that he says that isar means something totally different than Shmuel. So amacharova taritz ve'emalachi. You should explain the braita in the following manner, or truthfully, this is what Shmuel meant to say. Ezu isar neder ha'amur b'Torah. What is the isar neder that's said in the Torah? Omer ra'elai shalo ochel basar. Shalo eshte yayim kimo shemeit bo aviv kiyom shenerek bo ploni. V'amar Shmuel. That's if he was already nadur and in that position from that day. My time up. What's the reason? Amakra ish ki dor neder la Hashem. When a person takes a neder la Hashem, achi dor b'davar ha nadur. Till a person takes a neder with something that is already nadur. The way that he is explaining Shmuel now is that the formulation of a neder is different than you thought. It's not just saying, Hare alai kikar zu, asur alai kikar zu. That's not going to work as a neder. Formulation of a neder is b'davar nadur, which is based on the pasuk, which says, ki dor neder. But you take a neder, and a neder has to be structured like a hadpasah, basically. It won't be a hadpasah, but the way that a neder works is that you have to articulate the neder, connecting it to something that is already asur. So then Rashi says, if that's a classic case of neder, where you say, asur alai kikar zu, kazo, that this kikar is asur to me like this other kikar. Or based on the braita, this kikar is asur to me like the day that my father passed away. So that would work as a neder. Not as a pasah, that's the ikar lashon neder. But then for Rashi, what's the case of hadpasah? He says, kagon shlo perish halei alai. He never said, shlo uchel basar, shlo eshte yayin. He never expressed it by using a lashoni sura. Ella amar harei alai yom zeh ki yom shmei po aviv. He leaves out the lashon of restriction. So hadpasah will be harei alai yom zeh. This day is ki yom shmei po aviv. It's similar to that day. So in the harei alai, you never expressed something of isur. You simply said that this is like that. That's hadpasah. Now then, a neder, based on the way that Rova is explaining Shmuel now, is a case where you say, Hare alai shalo uchel basar. I am restricted from consuming basar. V'shloesh de yayin ke yom shmei po aviv. Like the day that his father passed away. So there is a neder. You're taking a full lashon neder, but you have to connect it to something that is nadur. But hadpasah is a case where you don't even give a lashon neder at all. You just say, this is like this. That's hadpasah. So that's what Rashi says is the difference between now Rova's explanation what neder is, or core neder is according to Shmuel, versus hadpasah according to Shmuel, and that will be what Shmuel was coming to teach you. How do you take a neder? The Braita is telling you, and that's what Shmuel is saying, this is how to take a neder, based on the fact that it says ki dor neder, the double lashon of neder, you have to take a neder, b'davar nadur, something that's already a neder. Although the Rif, and you can see this in the Baal Tosafot as well, The Rabbah Nami Moda, the Matpis Beneder, Neder. He has to believe that Hapasa Beneder works. The Mishnah Shlemai, because it's a full-fledged Mishnah. It's an explicit Mishnah that there is Hapasa Benedarim. Say that Rabbah believes that there is a concept of Hapasa. Rashi here seems to indicate that Rabbah has no din of Hapasa. Doesn't matter Shvua, doesn't matter Neder. And here he's coming to explain to you the Iker way Neder works, Minat Torah. Which is, you have to be no der, but the bar nadur. Hatpasa is not relevant, midoraita, by a neder, just like it's not relevant by a shvua. If you can look in the Balei Tosfot, it's clear that he believes that hatpasa is also accepted by Rova with regards to a neder. And therefore, the conclusion of Rova is that hatpasa works by neder, it doesn't work by shvua. And the Rif over here also passes the same way. And if you look in the rod there on the Rif, he explains why that is the case, because there's a difference between a neder and a shvua, as we've been explaining all along, which is a neder is an iser on the chepetz, whereas a shvua is an iser on the action of the individual. So hatpasa can work by a neder because you're transferring, in a sense, the restriction that is on this object onto another object, which is possible. But with regards to a shvua, hatpasa doesn't make sense. You can't transfer an intangible restriction to another intangible restriction. And so therefore the Rif Paskins like Rova and the Ran in explaining that Psak says that there is Hatpasa by Neder, but there is no Hatpasa by a Shvua. And therefore the explanation of Rova here of Shmuel's position, he's saying to you that the way that a Neder works is through Hatpasa. And not that a Neder is done in this manner, and that's the Ikar Neder and there is no Hatpasa. Rather, Hatpasa is a mechanism for Neder because of the fact it says Ki Idor Neder. Although the Rimi Gash does enter a possibility here that even Rova holds that a pasa works by shvua, it's just not sufficient to bring you to an obligation of a korban. It'd be patur mi korban by a pasa shvua, but nevertheless you'd still be restricted by isur. And so Rova's din is that hat pasa by shvua does not bring to a korban, and that's what it means. There's no hat pasa by shvua. Now the Gemara says, "Biyom shebeit bo aviv pshita." Now the Gemara says, if that's the meaning of the Braita, then why do you need Yom Shemei Bo Aviv? Yom Shemei Bo Aviv, by the way, is straightforward. Rashi says over here, came in the time of Mishum de Nadur, Bahu, as to that he took a nether, Allah mitat aviv malikan, v'chi Mishum de Meit Bo Aviv, migra gora? Why is it any less? Meaning that why can't you just say that he took it with in connection to another nether? Why is the nether on the day that his parents passed away relevant over here? Why does it have any meaning in this context? Because it is no different than any other neder he takes. What's so special about the day that his father passed away as opposed to a neder? Is that reduce the neder? Does that make it less of a neder because his father passed away on that day? If he had a neder just that I won't eat basar and drink wine on this day, and had nothing to do with his parents, you could have used that neder as well and used that as the devar nadur. Why is the day that his parents passed away relevant over here? That's what Rashi says. And others say that it is obvious, Yom Shemei Bo Aviv is a given that it's a Shin Nadur. Rach sees the question as a Makshinan, Ki Yom Shemei Bo Aviv Pshita, Tasur Lo, Lo Chal Basar V'Dishtod Yayin, De Behejia Tanya, Kuzman Shemeito Mutalifana, Vasur Lo Chal Basar V'Dishtod Yayin. That's an obvious restriction that is placed upon him. And so then, what's the question over here? If he's Matpisit for Yom Shemei Bo Aviv, then it's clear that he was restricted in Basar V'Yayin on that day. So why does the Brayta even have to tell you about it? So Mar says, no, Kiyom Shnerek Bo Gedaya Ben Achikam Itzrichle. You need it for the day that Gedaya Ben Achikam passed away. Well, Saka Dat Chamina, I would have thought, came in Bechilo Nadar, Nami Asur. Had he not taken a Neder, it would have been Asur anyway, because it's Tzom Gedaya. Ki Nadar, Nami Lo Aviyale Isur. So now when he takes a Neder, it won't be an Isur, or that won't be a Davar Nadur. V'hai Lav Mitpas Benederu. And then when you say, my neder should be like the day that Gedaya ben Achikam passed away. That's what's called mapis b'davar asur, not mapis b'davar ha-nadur. Shmuel was telling us, in order to create a neder, you have to connect it to something that you made asur, something that was a neder. It can't be something that is asur by itself or inherently asur. If you connect it to something inherently asur, that doesn't work. That's not the way a neder works. And so you would have thought that that doesn't work by Gedaya ben Achikam. It's not going to work because it's considered to be a davar asur. Kamash Milan, that is not the case. The reason is because Gedaya ben Achikam, or the fast of Gedaya ben Achikam, is only Isur Derabanan. It's something that the Nevi'im or the Rabbanan created a fast day to commemorate the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam. But that means midoraita, there's no recognition of this isur. So now when you go ahead and take a neder, that neder is a restriction deoraita. If you take a restriction over a deoraita and overlay it on an isur derabanan, you have a neder. And if you violate that, you're not going to only be in violation of not listening to the chachamim, you're also going to be in violation of a neder deoraita. And that's what Shmuel is coming to teach you. But Rashi changed the girsa in the Gemara and rejected what was the girsa from the Gemara's beforehand. And here the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi and think that the girsa that was in the Gemara was correct. And Rashi writes over here, V'lo gar sinan, don't have this girsa in your Gemara. Kevin demid rabbanan hu dasur, ki nedar chal alei isur belo yachel. Lo gar sinan laha. Don't put that in. Da inami midoraito. Even if it was a Torah law, amrina nedarim chalim adavar mitzvah kedavar rishut. We have a Gemara later on here, we had it in the Dorim as well, which is the difference between a Shvua and a Neder is that a Shvua cannot be chal on a mitzvah. A Shvua cannot be chal on something that the Torah says, because you are mushba ba'omeid mihar Sinai. You already have a previous Shvua, and you can't take another Shvua to abrogate the first Shvua that you took. On the other hand, a Neder which focuses on the Chefetz, you can't have a neder that will undermine a mitzvah in a Torah. So the classic example, we'll just say, is sukkah. If a person takes a shvua not to sit in the sukkah, he has to sit in the sukkah. Because the Torah told you, and you're ready, mushba bomi bihar sinai, you must sit in the sukkah. You take a shvua not to sit in the sukkah, you're taking a shvua to abrogate your first shvua, that doesn't work. On the other hand, if you say that yeshivat sukkah alai, which is sitting in the sukkah, is restricted to me, which is a neder, that neder will undermine or not allow you to accomplish the mitzvah of the Torah. And that's because you didn't go up against the mitzvah of the Torah. You didn't go and say, I'm not going to do the mitzvah. But you created a situation in which, if you do the mitzvah, you're going to actually violate your neder. And we won't let you violate your neder. And for that reason, you're actually going to then block your ability to do the mitzvah. So a neder can be chal on a mitzvah. So what Rashi says over here is, it has nothing to do with the fact that the fast day of Gedaliah ben Achikam is Darabanan, even if the fast day of Gedaliah ben Achikam was Yom Kippur, and it was Nisa Doraita. If you take a neder is chal on a mitzvah. And so if you take a neder not to eat on Yom Kippur, then according to Rashi, that neder will be chal on top of what you have is a restriction to eat on Yom Kippur. And so that's why Rashi eliminated the Girsot in the Gemara and says it's nothing to do with Darabanan Doraita, it simply has to do with the fact that you take a neder. And a neder can sit on top of an existing mitzvah min haTorah. And since that's the case, when you have a neder on some Gedaliah, whether it was derabanan, the isur, or the isur was deoraita, when you take a neder, you've now added on an additional isur, and that's called a devar nadur, not a devar hasur. Rashi's assumption here is rejected by many of the Rishonim, and that has to do with a question with regards to when is a neder able to uproot or undermine a din min haTorah. And that is that most Rishonim believe, and that's why they reject Rashi and keep the girsa in over here, is that a neder can undermine a mitzvah that's say min haTorah. The Torah says you must do something, and then you take a neder which prevents you from being able to do that, the neder is chal, and you will not be able to accomplish the mitzvah in haTorah. Like we suggested before, if he says yeshivat sukkah alai, then needs to do the mitzvah of sukkah, he will not be able to do it. Because the Torah says do the mitzvah, which is a shvua. He has a neder which makes the yeshivat sukkah or the sukkah itself a sur to him. And so now he can't accomplish what the Torah said to him because the neder affected the chefetz, the object that he needs to do the mitzvah of sukkah. So there a neder will work. You can see that in the Baal HaTosfot. He says, Mi onira the Rabbi Yitzhak, the gassin and leishapir. Vod, the ba'ad enorim nedarim chalin al devar mitzvah, bito mitzvah ayri. Aval, im nadar le kayem mitzvah, now then, if he takes a neder to be mekayim a mitzvah, then lo chayo, then yisro chal al isur, ochi yitzrik taima midrabanan. Umiyu, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, dit le the command, that you can be nishba the kayem et a mitzvot, chayav koshke nidarim shechalim lebadlo yucholo le kayem. Then certainly, if you can take a neder to be mevatel a mitzvah, certainly you can take a neder to be mekayim a mitzvah. The Tosfot says that neder does not chal to reinforce an isur that already exists. And you also cannot take a neder to reinforce the instruction of the Torah. The Tosafot later on, Daf Chav Zayin, and that sugya says that when you take a neder, the kayem into mitzvah, that's only when you're coming to reinforce the mitzvah taseh. But if you're trying to overlay that on a mitzvah lo taseh, it would not work. And in that way, Tosafot could then continue to explain here as well, the Gemara, because here you're trying to reinforce a lo taseh. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, it still would be problematic over here because the neder that you're taking is not to reinforce the mitzvah taseh, but rather a lo taseh. And therefore, it would not be chal in this instance. Although, if you look at Rashi over there, as well as the Rav Gibi Eger points out, that the Gemara in Makot seems to indicate that it's referencing to a case of a lo taseh as well, and not just a mitzvah taseh, against what the Balei HaTosafot suggests. And for that reason, other Rishonim, including the Balei HaTosafot over here, keep the Girsa in the Gemara and say that if the Tzom G'day was Doraita, you would not be able to put a neder on top of that. You would not be able to say a neder, which is a restriction on top of something that's already restricted to Oraita. And therefore, the reason here is, like I articulated at first, which is Tzom G'day is Derabbanan. And when you take a neder, then you're taking an Iser Doraita and overlaying it on top of an Iser Derabbanan. And that's the Girsa that should be in the Gemara, according to most of the Rishonim. So here you have a fundamental machlok between Rashi and other Rishonim as to when we say that neder can override, be there when there is an Iser Doraita. It's only, again, when you have a mitzvah that's same in a Torah, and now you're trying to create a Yisur that will block you, that's where it works. Or even in the case where you have a mitzvah lota same in a Torah, can you create another lota, say, through a neder, and that will be chal, even though you already restricted midoraita? Rashi says yes. The other Rishonim say no. So now the Gemara says, V'af Rabbi Yochanan, Savar la alaha, the Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees with Rabbah's position over here, that the word Isar, if you use it for Lashon Shvuah, does result in a shvuah. So again, here we're going to have two Amoraim. This is pretty classic in the cases when we have words from Rabbi Yochanan. So here we have Tichi Ata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And then later on, the Gemara is going to bring another case of Ravin then quoting Rabbi Yochanan, which is going to have a different version of this. We'll only get through the first version today. We'll get through the second version tomorrow. But in this version, Rabbi Yochanan is similar to Rava, which is Kiyata Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochanan. Ochal velo ochal sheker. If a person says, I will eat, I will not eat, and then violates that shvua, sheker. They're in violation of shvuat sheker. Vazarate mihocha. And this is the warning, or this is the restriction in the Torah. Loti shavu bishmi b'shaker. You may not take a false shvua in my name. And this is a case of sheker. Achalti velo achalti. If a person takes a shvua here now in the past tense, which says, I did eat, or I didn't eat, shav. That is a violation of shvuat shav. It's very similar to a shvuat shav. A shvuat shav is where you make a statement about something that's obvious that it wasn't true. So in a case where you say that this piece of wood is gold, that's a shvuat shav because it's clear now at the moment you're taking the shvua that it's wrong. And that's what he's now saying is the same thing when you say achalti and lo achalti. When you said I did eat or I didn't eat, immediately we know whether that was true or not true. You are lying at the moment you take the shvuah, and it's similar to a shav. Either you are telling the truth or you're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. It's equivalent to a shvuat shav, because you're saying something that's absolutely not true. Then when you say about ochal velo ochal, which is a future tense, over there, we don't know if you're in violation of it until at a later time. It's when you eat or when you don't eat, depending on which shvuah you took. We won't know if you're in violation of it until a later date. That's why it's called a shvuat sheker and not a shvuat shav. Because at the moment of the shvuah, it's not clear that it is a shvuah that is not valid, or a shvuah that is empty of meaning. It's only later on when you don't fulfill the shvuah that we find out that the shvuah was a false shvuah, or you did not uphold the shvuah. And the azara for things that are said in the past or about the past is lo tisad shem Hashem lokecha la shav. You may not use Hashem's name in vain. Konamot, when you use the word konamot, which is a terminology for neder, then over below yachel debaro. The violation there is a violation of a neder, and neder comes below yachel debaro. From Rashi here, it seems that lo yachel debaro only applies to nederim and not shvuot. Well, the Balei HaTosafot say here, in the Rematkeo, konamot, bishvua nami over mishum bayachel. Bayachel is the only isur by neder, or the violation of a neder. By Shvuah, you're also in violation by Yechel, but on top of that, you have other violations that will result in a Chiyuv Korban or a Chiyuv Makot from other Lavin. So according to this view of Rabbi Yochanan, there are three different types of shvuot that you can take, or nedarim that you can take, and each one of them has its own isur. There's a neder. A neder is subject to lo yachel devaro. There's a shvuah. A shvuah about the future is possibly a shvuah sheker if you violate it, and therefore you'll be in violation of lo tishabu mishmi l'shaker. If you take a shvuah about the past, that is shav, and there you'll be in a violation of lo tishah shem lokecha l'shav. Meitave. Can you really say that? Shav v'sheker echad hein. Shav and sheker are synonymous. They are one type of violation. My love, midas shav le'avar, av sheker nami l'sheavar. The simplest way to read that is to say, just like shav is about the past, it's about something that already exists, information we already know, so too, shvat sheker is also about the past. If you say they're equated, then they both should be about the same idea, which is the past. So now, if you say that shav, which by definition is about the past, then sheker is about the past. That means that the violation of sheker is achalti and lo achalti, the opposite of what Rabbi Yochanan said. Because Rabbi Yochanan said achalti and lo achalti is the equivalent of shvat shav. Sheker was about the future. This would undermine that. Alma, achalti and lo achalti, sheker, according to this, achalti and lo achalti is an example of sheker. Mar says, me the area. Why do you have to say that? Hakadiito, vahakadiito. Each one is in its own place. I mean that shav is one way, sheker is another way. Then what do you do with echad hein? How do you explain that they're considered to be one unit? Umay davar echad hein? The bibor echad ne'emru, because they were said simultaneously. So we'll get to this in one second, but what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting, or the way the Gemara is suggesting Rabbi Yochanan would answer this problem, is to say that shav references to the past in Okanami, and shav will include or subsume within it both the case of a real shvat shav as well as the case of achalti below achalti. But shvat sheker is not about the past, it's about the future, and that's ochal and lo ochal. The Braita told us that they were one. That's because they were said together, and that is similar to kedetanya. Zachor b'shamur b'dibur echad ne'emru. Zachor and Shamor, one of which is found in the Luchot Rishonot, and the other language, Shamor, is found in the Luchot Shniot, and we say that Zachor and Shamor are synonymous, interchangeable, or, we're going to see in one second, Masha'en Yechola Pedle Daber, human beings cannot express two words simultaneously, Masha'en Ozen Yechol Lishmoa. It's also something that an ear cannot hear, meaning that human beings cannot discern two words simultaneously. It's a unique thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do, was to express Zachor v'Shamor v'Dibur Echad, and have us hear at that time the miracles that we heard, the Zachor and Shamor v'Dibur Echad. The problem obviously arises from the fact that, yeah, the Luchot Rishonot and Luchot Shniot. Luchot Shniot shouldn't be any different than the Luchot Rishonot. It was just Moshe remaking the Luchot that he broke, but it had the same information as it was in the Luchot Rishonot. So when we have differences between the Luchot Rishonot and Shniot, we have to explain it somehow. What Chazal are telling us, those differences derive from the fact that, of course, Baruch Hu actually expressed certain things in a dual manner. And so Zachor and Shamor were both being expressed simultaneously, but for human beings, that can't be noted in that manner. So the Torah, in order to help us understand that, wrote one Zachor and one Shamor. Not to say that the Luchot Shniot were different than the Luchot Rishonot, but rather to tell us that Zachor and Shamor were both relevant in that Dibra of Shabbat, whether it was the Luchot Rishonot or the Luchot Shniot. And so Zachor v'Shamor the Dibra Echad Ne'emru. As the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban al Torah point out, there are other differences between the two Luchot. And then you really have to take note of those differences and try to figure out what the significance of those differences are, or whether there is any significance, including Lo Tachmod versus Lo Titaveh, just as an example. And the Baal Tosafot also suggests that the Gemara says B'dibur Echad by other mitzvot that are Soter Echad et Hasheni, by other mitzvot where there is an inherent contradiction. For instance, the fact that you're allowed to wear kilayim in tzitzit, or the fact that you're allowed to be miyabeim an eshet ach. That is something that's a sur min haTorah, yet there's a dispensation. And so the Gemara in Yevamot says that they were b'dibur echad. They were said together in order to reconcile that stira, to say in one breath they were said the isur and the heter together. Thus then leaves with a difficulty, what's the significance of all those b'dibur echad? In terms of, for instance, why aren't women chayavot in tzitzit if kilayim and tzitzit were said with dibur echad? Though you could argue that the nature of those dibur echad are different than the dibur echad that is mentioned by the luchot, because by the luchot, it really is the same dibur that's being expressed in two different ways. And that dibur echad has to be reconciled through a hekesh, whereas when the dibur echad regards to yivama and esharach, or tzitzit and kilayim, it's coming to resolve the contradiction that you have an Isur Min HaTorah and you have a dispensation. And so what the idea is that the dispensation is built into the Heter, and not that there's a Hekesh of some sort similar to that, which is by the Aseret HaDibrot, which is a problem because one Dibra is now being expressed in two different ways. And therefore you could differentiate between the Dibra Echad, or the contradiction, in the different times that the Gemara mentions this concept of Dibra Echad. Where it says, Bishlam HaHotom, by the case of Shabbat, b'dibur echad ne'emru, they were said simultaneously, there's significance or relevance to that because of the limud of Rav Adar Bava. Damar Rav Adar Bava, nashim chayavot b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. Women are chayavot in Kiddush on Shabbat min haTorah. Because you would have thought that they should be p'turot, because it's a mitzvah asay. Zachor teaches you that you have to do zechirat haShabbat. And the Gemara in Pesachim says that teaches you that you need to make Kiddush, you need to make Kaddish the Yom. So there's a requirement through Zechira, which is a positive, active commandment to sanctify the Shabbat, that you have to do Kiddush, Torah, because it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. But here we're saying that she is Chayevet. Why is that? Damakra, Zachor B'Shamor. The Zachor B'Shamor that was said B'Dibur Echad, Kol She'eshno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Zechira. Anyone who's obligated in Shmirah, which is the lotases of Shabbat, women are always chayavot in the mitzvot lotaseh. The exemption they have is only about a time-bound positive commandment. Negative commandments, women are chayavot in that. So over here, if they are chayavot, because of the word shamor, which tells you to desist from melacha, not to do the things that are inappropriate on Shabbat, so if they are chayavot in that, then they're also chayavot in the zachor aspect of it. The women, since they're obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbat, they're also then chayavot in the positive commandments of Shabbat, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah to say shehazman grama. So the Gemara's question is, by Shabbat, I have relevance to Zachor v'Shamor being said to Dibur Echad. Over here, when you say that Shab and Sheker were B'dibur Echad, what's the relevance of that? Why does that have any meaning whatsoever that Shab and Sheker were said B'dibur Echad? What halacha derives from that? Now, before we go on, there are a number of issues to deal with. The first of which is that when we brought the examples from Rabbi Yochanan, we only brought one pasuk from the Aseret HaDibrot, which was Lo Tisa Hashem Elokecha LaShab. Over there, in the second Dibrot, there's no change in word. It says Shav in the second Luchot, just like it says it in the first Luchot. So then why is the Gemara saying here that Shav and Sheker are interchangeably used in the Luchot, and therefore they were with Dibur Echad? We're trying to speak about a Pasuk in Parshat Kiddushim, and we're speaking about a Pasuk that's in Parshat Yitro. So why should those two be considered to be that Shav and Sheker are said together? So what in all likelihood it is referring to is something that Rabbi Yochanan says later on, that we actually saw earlier in the Masechta, Machlok between Rashi and the Balei Tosafot, but there the Torah does make it a difference between Shav and Sheker, not in the second Dibra, but rather with the restriction against giving or bearing false testimony, where it says, Lo ta'ane bereacha eid shaker. That's what's found in Parshat Yitro. And then if you look in Parshat Etchanan, where it has the Luchot HaShniot, over there it says, and that's the Shav and Sheker that's being referred to over here. So that deals with one issue. The second issue is one that is raised by the Balei Tosafot. It's what seems to be what Rashi is saying over here. The Nafgam is Zachor Yom HaShabbat, Zachreyu Alayayin. We learn from Zachor Yom HaShabbat that you have to mention it over the wine. And Rashi says that tells you that it's a mitzvah d'oraita, which implies here that Kiddush Alayayin is a mitzvah d'oraita, which we don't seem to find. One of the proofs against that is the Gemara in the beginning of Nazir that seems to indicate that Yayin Mishaychar Yazir Lasur Yayin Mitzvah Kiyayin Rishut Uparech Maininu Kiddush Vav Da'alta Mushvav Omei Var Sinayu Umaparech Rabbeinu Tam Bitmiya. How could you need a pasuk to tell you that you can restrict havdalah and kiddush al hayayin? Is he really a sur mihar Sinai? It's only a din der rabbanon. Now there, the mifaresh in Nazir actually reads it literally, not as a bitmiah, but literally mushba bomeid mihar Sinai, meaning that kiddush and havdalah al hayayin is a din doraita. And so therefore it would fit with our Gemara over here, which seems to indicate that Kiddush and Abdullah Alayayin is Doraita. But the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads it over there, and many Rishonim, believe that it's only a Din de Rabbonon. So then, how could the Gemara over here be suggesting that Kiddush is Doraita, when over there it says that Kiddush is De Rabbanan? And so what the Baal Yitzchak would answer here, they have a similar discussion in Arvei Pesachim, in the Gemara Pesachim, Eish Lamar, the Kiddush Vadai Mi Doraita. The Kiddush is a Din Doraita. Aval alayayin eno ela midrabanan. Kiddush alayayin is only rabbinic in nature. So the Kiddush itself is a din doraita. And in Arvei Pesachim, when it says zachreyo alayayin, that's only an asmachta. What Rashi brought over here, zachreyo alayayin, it's not literally the din doraita. That's an asmachta midoraita. Inami, afilu drasha gemura, ha de mevarech tzrech shitom eno midrabanan. So then the other possibility that is that Kiddush alayayin is doraita. But you don't have to drink the wine. The drinking of the wine is only a din derabbanan. So those are the two answers the Baal Yitzchak bring in Arvei Pesachim. Same two answers he brings over here, which is Kiddush is doraita. Kiddush al hayayin is not doraita is one possibility. Or even if you say Kiddush al hayayin is doraita, that's the fact that you have to do it al hayayin. Drinking the wine, that's only a din derabbanan. In that way, it's not a stira, but the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains that Gemara in Nazir. Now the Gemara says, Ela hachala ma yukhatami baile, what do you need the halacha that shav and sheker are equal? Ela kashem shaloke ala shav, kach loke nami ala sheker. Just like you get malkot for a shvuat shav, so too you're going to get malkot for a shvuat sheker. Gemara says, klape layo. It should be just the opposite. By a shvuat shav, there's never a maaseh. There's no way you can violate a shvuat shav through a maaseh because the moment that you say something false, you're in violation. It has nothing to do with what you will do. It has to do with what you did in the past. And so by definition, it's a lav, she'ein bo, maaseh. So why would you say that sheker is learned from shav, when shav by definition is a lav, she'ein bo, maaseh? Sheker has a possibility of being a lav, she'yesh bo, maaseh. You can say, shvua, that I won't eat. And then the person goes ahead and eats. He violates it through a maaseh. You're more likely to say there's malkot by sheker than you are to say it by shav. So if you're going to learn, you would learn the other way around. Ela'ema. Kashem shalok ala sheker, kach loke namali ala shav. Just like you get malkot by sheker, because there's a maaseh, so too by shav, you're also going to get malkot. Pshita, high love, v'hai love. They're both lavin. Why would you say one gets malkot any more than the other one? Maud etayim ekadam alei rapapa le'abaye. You would have thought, it's like what Rav Papa says to Abaye with regards to the Aseret HaDibrot, where it says there, Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, and then it says, Ki Lo Yinakeh Hashem Et Hashem Yisrael Shemo Lashav. Hashem will not cleanse or allow to go away without any punishment someone who uses his name in vain. So what do you mean, Ki Lo Yinakeh? So Rav Papa suggested to Abaye, Ki Lo Yinakeh Klal. Maybe Lo Yinakeh means that he will not have his slate wiped clean no matter what. That means he won't, Hashem will not forgive him, and neither will Beitin do something here that will allow him to be forgiven. Kamash Malan, Kedishanele. The Kamash Malan is like Abaye answers Rav Papa over there. Again, we'll get to that in the Gemara in a little bit, but what Abaye basically says is, Kulun Yonakeh Hashem. Hashem will not be Minakeh. That Hashem will not allow this person to be cleansed. But that means that Beitin does have the ability to allow this person to be cleansed, and therefore he'll get Malkot. So the answer is that it's not so simple. You're right. Sheker is a lav that you get malkot for. Shav, we're now comparing to it and say you also get malkot. The reason that you need that to teach you, the reason you need that limud is because you might have thought lo yinakeh means the person has no ability to be punished and get kapara in this world. The answer is no. It says there, kelo yinakeh Hashem. Only Hashem doesn't provide that opportunity. But Beitin does provide that opportunity by giving malkot. And that shows you that there is malkot by a shvuat shav from the connection to the shvuat sheker, or the fact that sheker and shav are b'dibur echad nemru. V'ibayitema, some say, k'shem shemay be korban ala sheker, kach may be korban ala shav. That just like you bring a korban ole v'yored ala sheker about the atid labo, which means an ochal v'lo ochal, which is la ra la'itiv in the pasuk, which all the Tana believe is what the Pasuk speaking about is the future. Kach may be Korban al-Shav. And it comes to teach you, not only do you bring a Korban al-Levi Yoreid about the future, but you even bring in a Korban al-Levi Yoreid for lying about the past. Rabbi Akiva, and this is Shitat Rabbi Akiva, to Mechayev le-Shavar ke-La'aba. Rabbi Akiva says that past you are chayav for, just like you are chayav for the future. La'aral al-Etiv, where he says you're chayav a Korban al-Levi Yoreid, so too, by a Shav, you also have that same restriction and same punishment, which is if you do it b'shogeg, you'll bring a Korban al-Levi Yoreid. And it says Rabbi Akiva, the Dibur Echad, is according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Korban is brought both for Shav and for Sheker. Or really, it's for Sheker and for Shav. And that's the point of saying that they are used interchangeably or exchanged in the Luchot. Meitame, Ezu Ishvat Shav. What is a Ishvat Shav? Nishpa l'shanot et yadua l'adam. He goes in, he tries to say a shvuah about something that's obvious to everybody else. Shvuat sheker. What's the case of shvuat sheker? Nishba l'achlif. He's trying to change the truth about something in the past. So there it sounds like exactly the opposite of what Rava said, which is Rava said that shvuat sheker was about the future. Here it's telling that shvuat sheker is about the past. And the difference between a shav and sheker is how obvious is the information. By the case of Shvuat Shav, everybody knows at the moment the person takes the Shvuah that it's untrue. This piece of wood is gold. Everybody knows immediately that it's a Shvuat Shav. Then when a person says, I did eat or I didn't eat, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily obvious immediately that the person is lying. You have to figure out, did he eat or he didn't eat? Not everybody who's standing there will know for sure that this is a Shvuah that's problematic, and that's why it's called a Shvuat Sheker. Because it's a lie and not a Shav. Shav means it's something that is nothing. Right up front, it is meaningless. And so what he's saying there is that Shav is going to be something that's obviously meaningless, but Sheker is something that is a lie, but it won't be as obvious up front. So that's against Rava's view of what Sheker is. Ema, he meant that statement in the Brayta, read, Nishba u'machlif. He takes a Shvuah and then undermines the Shvuah in the future. It's not that he's machlif through the Shvuah. He's telling the opposite of what is true in the Shvuah. Rather, he takes the Shvuah and then is machlif, and then he causes it to be untrue in the future, and then that would be supportive of Rava's view that Sheker is about the future and Shav is about the past. Okay, we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Chof Avav Amud Aleph, and tomorrow we will continue with the other view that is brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan.